Hello and welcome again to VOA's Press Freedom Podcast. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. The media landscape for freedom of the press has always been a fragile thing, and increasingly, as we've documented here, it seems to be on the retreat in a growing number of nations. Now add to that list of trouble spots the United States. The group Reporters Without Borders only ranked the U.S. 48th out of 180 countries in terms of free press this year. It's a trend that's so troubling that a wide coalition of media and advocacy organizations have come together to launch Protect Press Freedom, a venture to build support for free press expressly within the United States. Earlier, we spoke with Joel Simon, executive director of the Committee to Protect Journalists and one of the lead organizers of the campaign.
The CPJ is an organization of journalists dedicated to the defense of press freedom and journalists around the world who are confronting danger, violence, repression, and other obstacles to report the news.
Well, thinking of facing those obstacles to reporting the news, you and several other organizations recently launched what's being called the Protect Press Freedom Campaign, which I believe is something aimed at the United States. What is this campaign?
The campaign is intended to create awareness in this country that something we take for granted, which is press freedom and the right of journalists to do their work, is threatened. It's threatened in sometimes highly visible ways and sometimes more subtle ways. And our sense, based on the survey data, is that Americans care deeply about press freedom, but they're not aware of the threat. And the purpose of this campaign is to change that.
Give us an example of some of the threats which are obvious and those, or techniques which are obvious and those not so much. Give us an example of each if you can.
Well, I think that one of the things that might be less obvious, and this is based on our data, is because of the decline in local news organizations. There are fewer local newspapers across the country. Many important local stories are covered by journalists without the resources and support that that journalists have traditionally enjoyed. And one of the challenges is covering protests and demonstrations. And we've seen a pretty sharp uptick in, for example, arrests and detentions of journalists covering demonstrations. We've also seen that journalists covering demonstrations and protests are facing increased hostility from the people who are protesting. So that's become a very difficult and dangerous story to cover. There are also emerging legal threats, including aggressive prosecution of leakers. This began during the Obama administration, but it's continued under the Trump administration. So there are myriad threats on myriad fronts where everyone's aware of President Trump's rhetoric, and certainly his anti-media rhetoric is troubling. But many of the other threats are much more concrete and much more real.
A friend of mine, also a colleague, a longtime journalist, did a lot of coverage of the Trump campaign during the 2016 election and is doing some now in the lead up to 2020. And this person said to me something which they didn't want to say on the record, but they said, you know, I've covered a lot of campaign rallies in my time. And for the first time ever, I now find myself, when I go into one of these big rallies, looking for the nearest exit. And I've begun advising my younger colleagues to do the same. That is chilling to me, frankly.
Yeah, and we hear that sort of thing all the time. I was talking to a journalist the other day who was in the press pen at one of the Trump rallies, and there was a person outside who was, you know, dragging his finger across his throat and threatening the journalists, and that's become pretty standard. And there are people who see this kind of anti-media rhetoric that the president engages in license as license to threaten the media. And there have been specific instances. We know the phone threats thrown into the Boston Globe. We know the pipe bombs that were sent to CNN and other media organizations and other Trump critics. And while it's not related to Trump's rhetoric, what happened at the Capitol Gazette, in which four journalists and a media worker were gunned down in the newsroom, is a reminder of just how vulnerable a journalist feel in this country, and how this kind of enhanced rhetoric heightens, or this kind of hostile rhetoric rather, heightens their sense of vulnerability. So journalists definitely are aware of this climate, and it's something that their safety was something they took for granted. That's not the case anymore.
Do you hear from people saying, you know what, they've had enough, they're just leaving the profession?
Yes, I hear from people all the time who tell me they're leaving the profession, but that's for different reasons. It's very hard to make a living as a journalist. There's been a collapse because of the business model and local news coverage. There are fewer journalism jobs, and the ones that exist tend to be not as well paid. But the journalists and ironically, what that does is it means the people who are continuing in the profession are some of the most dedicated and committed. I think that journalists are highly conscious and deeply concerned about the changing press freedom climate. They're concerned about the kind of rhetoric they're hearing from the president. They're concerned about the way that people are feel emboldened to threaten, criticize, attack, harass journalists online. But quite honestly, I don't think they're deterred. I feel that many journalists out there are almost invigorated by the challenge and the sense of mission that's needed to be a journalist in this moment.
Just a few more questions. How do you expect that this new campaign will try and turn things around, perhaps, make conditions safer for journalists working in the United States, given the fact that the occupant of the Oval Office now and for some time to come, likely, is fond of employing occasionally harsh rhetoric about the press?
Well, look, it's a process, and we deliberately designed a campaign that is nonpartisan and we hope is unifying and can be interpreted in different ways. It's focused on the sensation that people have when the news disappears. So it shows people watching the television and the screen goes blank, or accessing their phone and their phone suddenly goes blank, or listening to the news, engaging with information in different ways. And that's the experience people have. They have that for a variety of different reasons, as I said, because maybe their local newspaper went under, or because maybe they feel like when they go online, the information they need is drowned out in a deluge of disinformation and misinformation. Or maybe they have a greater awareness of the actual threats to press freedom. But regardless, people, we want to make people aware that this is a fundamental facet of American political life. It's guaranteed in the First Amendment of our Constitution, and it's threatened in ways that may not be visible. And the other thing that we're doing is we're building a coalition of groups, of media organizations, and hopefully of members of the public that are committed to the defense of these principles. We recognize that the president is going to continue to attack and undermine. It's fine, obviously, for the president to criticize media coverage. What troubles us is when he undermines the very institution of the press, and that has repercussions in this country and around the world. And we want to counter that narrative. We want to say, Mr. President, people have lots of criticism of the media. People don't always like journalists, but they like the freedom. They like the freedom that's part of our political contract with each other, that people have this fundamental right, and that this freedom that we have enjoyed in this country has inspired people around the world, and it's precious, and we must preserve it. That's the message we want to send.
Last question. You mentioned just in that answer repercussions not just here in the United States but around the world, of course. CPJ is a global organization. Tell us your concerns, if any, about whatever may be happening here in the United States, land of the First Amendment, that may be being watched by other countries whose leaders may begin to kind of pick up a similar mantle of taking jabs at the media.
I would say that our concern about the kind of rhetoric that Trump is using against the media is damaging and undermining as it is in this country. I mentioned that I don't think most journalists are deterred. They're going to go out and do their job because they have legal protections, because they have institutional protections. It's become more difficult, but the journalists are doing their job, and some of them are doing amazing work. We have to recognize that. But around the world is where we're really seeing the damage, because this kind of rhetoric is being adopted and deployed by authoritarian leaders. The fake news framing, the enemy of the people framing, in some countries around the world, they're actually passing laws criminalizing fake news. We're seeing more journalists around the world imprisoned on fake news charges. When Trump meets with other heads of states and they have the media availability and Trump jokes, to Erdogan or Orban or Modi or any of these other leaders, or Imran Khan of Pakistan, that, you don't have it as bad as I do with journalists, and they laugh and they chuckle. Well, those leaders, when they go home, they feel emboldened. They feel that they will not be under pressure from the United States. They feel justified in their repressive policies. And we see a corresponding increased pressure on journalists. So we're very concerned about the global impact of that rhetoric, and we feel that it emboldens authoritarian and repressive leaders to crack down further on the press.
Joel Simon, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you.
That's Joel Simon, Executive Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists and one of the lead organizers of the new campaign, Protect Press Freedom. Well, that's our podcast for now. Check back for more updates. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington.